The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
For some people, February is important for its 14th day, St. Valentine's Day, a day of love and romance. Although this date was denoted as St. Valentine's Day way back in 496 AD, it was not associated with romantic love for another 1,000 years, and the first Valentine card was only sent in 1805. There is a saying that love is what makes the world go round. And a quick look at TV and films with their romantic themes and obsession with the so-called love lives of celebrities shows us how essential a certain type of love would seem to be to them. We have to be careful, though, what we take as our standards when we think about what it is that makes the world go round. TV, film, romantic novels and so on are not really very helpful in helping us. On the other hand, the Bible has a lot to say about love, and it could be claimed that this is its central theme. It teaches us such things as God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And the most important commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. So where do we start in working out what love really is? John helps us in his first letter when he says this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The gold standard for love then is God himself, the love he has shown us. As we see what it says about this love in so many places in the Bible, we come to understand that the essential element to this love is giving, as seen in John 3:16, God so loved that he gave. This is so different from what some modern expressions of so-called love, which are best summed up as I want or give me. The love spoken of in the Bible is entirely for the sake of the recipient, at complete expense of the giver. Hence, Jesus gave his life for us, so that we can be forgiven and enter into a new relationship with God. We can look at this love from God to us with wonder, can accept the benefits it brings with gratitude. That's great. We can even try to return this love to God by getting to know him better through prayer and Bible study, and living out the kind of lives he would like. The problem is when we come to read on in John's letter. He says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then from the lips of Jesus himself, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." This certainly comes as a challenge. How can we love one another in the same way as God loved us? That really is asking a lot, especially when you see some of the others around that I'm called to love. The first thing to notice is that God's kind of love is not a feeling, but an action. God did not just have good feelings towards us, wanting us to be forgiven, but he acted. He did something, sent Jesus to die in our place. It does not say he liked us. In fact, because of the sin in our lives, he could not bear the sight of us in that we were barred from his presence. The prophet Habakkuk said, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." And Paul reminds us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's clear that liking is not a prerequisite for loving. We do not have to like someone to act in love towards them. In fact, Jesus commanded us, saying, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And on another occasion, "To you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." And then again, "Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." So Jesus told us we need to pray for those who hate us and do good to them in practical ways. Paul took up this idea when he described what it meant to have love for other people in the reading we've had on this disc. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Well, that's quite an ideal, isn't it? We might look at this and think it's just not possible in some cases. I cannot love like that. In many ways, this is right. In our own nature, in our fleshly life, we cannot. Paul points out in Galatians 5 that our human nature often shows itself as just the opposite of that. But then later on in that same chapter, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. He's pointed out that when we put our faith in Jesus for forgiveness, God gives us his Spirit. And here he is pointing out that the fruit of God's Spirit working in our lives is love, which shows itself in joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we want these qualities to be more prominent in our lives so that we can show love to others, then we need to give more room for God's Spirit to work in us. Paul put it like this: since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The secret to being able to love as Jesus loved is to get to know him better, so that his love can flow through us like the sap in the vine flows through its branches. As we celebrate love in this month of St. Valentine, let us commit ourselves to getting to know Jesus better, so that through his Spirit, his love will flow out through us to others we meet, whether we like them or not.
We will come to our final hymn of praise, followed by three short organ pieces. I want to thank everyone who has contributed in any way to this recording. We're really grateful to you. Next month, we're intending to combine March and April's recordings into a celebration of Holy Week and Easter. But until then, a prayer. May the love of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, and the presence of the Spirit gladden your heart and bring you his peace this day and all days. Amen.